is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Oh, yes, I hear. Now. You know when you're struggling to make sure you can hear myself talk? Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, July 30th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today is Man Down Mashup Wednesday, where we combine two shows, combine them together, and we hash out the news, what is trending. Today we have the full team. I mean, I don't know where Ian turned up from. Munnings is in studio, so it's going to be an interesting conversation as we have an open line. I said, man, we scratch everything. We're going to have an open line Wednesday like the old times. That means we talk about whatever you want to talk about. We talk about whatever we want to talk about, and we read some articles, analyze, and ask, what is going on, right? There's a number of things that has caught my attention inside the news, right? Because this is, to me, I'm not sure if Aaron would be paying attention, right? But this is the second time I hear in the Defense Force officers looking at these young Rangers. I mean, they bumping. I understand. But he's a disciplined man. Disciplined men who go through all kind of training and thing can't be looking at young girls who just start bumping. That's just beyond them. That's for weak man. Not for real man. These are army men. Army men have discipline. Right? If you under my care and you're wearing your short shorts and your tight shirt, I supposed to be able to look beyond such. And if I'm unable to look beyond such and getting excited over young things, I need to move. And men understanding, we ain't stupid as men. You go to your, what is it, presiding or residing? What kind of the officers be above you?
Supervising.
Okay, the supervising officer and say, supervising officer, that one bumping and she's like, ask me questions. She like press herself against me. And any supervisor, any man, any good woman too, who is in the force, who understands, especially when women, young girls are going to change life and they will test you. Like how men is test, young boys is test you, right? They would say, yo, you need to move. We send you back to barracks to run up the stairs to sweat these things out. But you can't be around these children in your care. So who I blame? I blame all of them because it can't happen. And it's not just that looking and touching and suggestive thing, you know. They, what I call phasing. You know what they do phasing in schools and colleges where they kind of abuse you to go through?
Hazing.
Hazing, thanks. I appreciate you these right vocabulary words, you know. You can't say this is a rite of passage, so you got to do all of these things. You can put your head underwater. You can drink this strange thing. Right, you can get beat up and thing to pass through to graduate to get to the level at another level. You can't do it, especially you can't do it to churn. You should be doing it to big people, but you can't be doing it to children. Children in your care, I can't forgive you. You can't say I just you're under investigation. That's a discipline force. You could be in barracks. You're going to be locked up inside here and tell this investigator. I don't know what he's doing to the defense force because he's different from the police force, right? Because you don't get locked up. In the police force, you got to be in the defense force. I sure the commandant, the new commandant, is supposed to say, no, you ain't coming off this base no time soon. You here for life. Call your parents, them, and call your children and whoever it is, and let them know that until this investigation over, you reprimanded or remanded or whatever the right word is. But you ain't coming off base. But I'm going to read the story. We can talk about this because there's a number of things that has irked me. Because let me give you the next point, Aaron, right? Because I want to talk about this. I'm going to run right into this after this Defense Force story. Our Prime Minister again mentioned that, and you mentioned it also, because we heard when the Minister of Foreign Affairs mentioned it earlier, about 2-3 years ago, that we have a number of particular immigrants here because of a job shortage.
Labor shortage, right?
They reiterated on the rally stage now. There's a difference with making a statement. It's now a part of election fever to explain. This is official now.
Right.
The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has iterated that you, the angst that you feel by seeing a particular group of people, because he's talking about a particular group of the people, he ain't no general. The reason why you're seeing a particular group of people is because we have a labor shortage in the construction field. It's a boom. They said, man, we have so much construction jobs inside here. We, this is my words now, I'm putting this in. I guess this might be spin, but you can understand where I'm coming from. We have so many construction jobs in inside the Bahamas, we don't have importing labor. You see, all them planes were coming back and forth. We now importing labor to facilitate the construction boom in the hotels and the condominiums and the houses. That's how much construction happened. But he didn't mention no work program. Like, they come in here for how long and they go home? Like, who orchestrated this? Is there a government work program? He didn't mention housing. Like, where are they living? We know we have a housing crisis. Or do we have a housing crisis? Because every time you use the word crisis, they just get upset and say, there's no crisis, just that people have to live in the car. And people
and in the bush.
In
and
the
on
bush
the beach.
And the beach. And then say we could build them as a shanty town, knowing that there's no more houses for them to live. I think it's still against the law to rent houses to
illegal migrants.
Undocumented.
Yes. Individuals.
So they have to move from one bush to the next bush. That's how I see it.
But this is very...
We ain't started yet.
They're two very sensitive areas.
Yeah, I can talk about all of that. We ain't started yet. Because we got to read the article. They want people to call it. Planning a Wednesday, mashup Wednesday. And I got my mashup some people as we mash the two shows together. Because you can't just say we bringing in scores, hundreds of people, and you won't go in detail about the labor contract, what they doing, how they getting here, who bring them in, if they find houses. Are they coming with children? Are they coming with wives, girlfriends? Like, how long they here for? Because I mean, if I was a man and I here for about 5 years during a construction, whatever it is, I leaving with. Anyway, let's go. Let's start reading this.
Okay, I got. I have the article right here. But Mr. Nuri, before when you pointed out the article to me to say, hey, put this, you know, definitely we're talking about this. You said, but hey, Green, is this the first time? You said you weren't certain if this was the first time, and
yes.
I found those articles. So
yes.
On the 29th of March, 2025, Eyewitness News posted the article, Monroe Weighs In on Defense Force Officer Accused of Indecently, we just waiting for that good old Wi-Fi to connect, of indecently assaulting cadets. And then on the 27th of March, 2025, in the Tribune, Defense Force Officer Accused of Kissing and Groping Two teen cadets. So we go now to today's Tribune, today the 30th of July, 2025. Kids abused at Rangers Camp. Claims of inappropriate sexual behavior, being forced to drink toilet water, and of beatings. Police are investigating allegations that children in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Rangers program were abused during a summer camp in Eleuthera. Claims that include beatings, being forced to drink toilet water, and sexually inappropriate behavior by an officer. Commodore Floyd Moxie told the Tribune yesterday that the RBDF launched an internal investigation after a parent filed a complaint, prompting the deployment of the Defense Forces intelligence team to Freeport, where the parent lives. Quote, the matter's with the police now, close quotes, he said. He said a Marine was confined to base for 8 days during the RBDF's initial inquiry, but has since been released as the police investigation is still ongoing. Quote, our defense summary jurisdiction tells us that we can hold them for 8 days, close quotes. He said, quote, that 8 days expired basically today, close quotes. A board of inquiry has also been convened to review what took place during the June 30th to July 19th camp and whether structural or procedural changes are necessary. Commodore Moxie said the Defense Force has held at least one Zoom call with concerned parents and plans to meet with them again. One mother who spoke anonymously to Tribune said her 16-year-old son returned from the camp deeply shaken, describing it as, quote, horrible, close quotes, and, quote, literally like a prison, close quotes. She said he alleged that Rangers were beaten in their sleep, woken up in the early hours to perform strenuous exercises under threat of violence, and that some were forced to drink toilet water.
My God.
Listen, I know we just stick a pin.
It's like a shock treatment. You know that show on shock treatment where they torture the Bohemian boys who have crime.
Deter them from the prisons.
Yeah, and they turn more criminals because they're used to beating now.
But these are Rangers. These people are their party. We were talking earlier about confused enemy. Mm. You guys know who the enemy is first. Mm.
I think that we have so many challenges that we are facing with today. We're looking at these sensitive areas where you're saying that children are being abused. And then you're looking at the sentences on which these persons who coming from a place of where they're supposed to look out for these kids. And here it is that they're abusing them and they are sexually doing things to them out of the scope. And, you know, and when you go before the magistrate and you hear the sentencing sometimes, and you know, it just appalls you in the country that you're living in. Like, are we a culture now that has grown accepting to it? What are we doing?
Let's go back to the article. But the Defense Force have their own court. They don't go to no magistrate court. They have their own court inside their own criminal thing.
But yeah. I think they are normally what happens is they are fired.
Released. They got to go to their own court.
They have their own thing, but they have to go through the criminal procedures as well.
In their own court. On the base, whatever they call it.
I know in this instance, though, that a police investigation has begun suggests that the RBDF tribunal or whatever the entity is had made a determination that required or invoked a policy that the police be called, right?
Like,
you get A, and if you get A, then you must do B, and B is call the police.
And then go before the magistrate court.
Well, here we go. We continue from the article. She said he alleged that Rangers were beaten in their sleep, woken up in the early hours to perform strenuous exercises under threat of violence, and that some were forced to drink toilet water. While his son was not among those who drank the water, he was reportedly ordered to strip their bedding. So maybe he was ordered to drink the water, but go back to the quotation from within the article. Quote, when he told me that, I exploded, close quotes, she said. Quote, you know what toilet water is. You know how much diseases you could get from toilet water? So that right there set me off, close quotes. She claimed the boys who drank the water became sick and were quarantined. Even more disturbing, she said her son claimed an officer simulated a sexual act on two boys and called for a boy to expose himself and masturbate in front of others. She said according to her son, the boys were forced to watch the boy perform the sex act. She described her son as usually quiet and resilient, but visibly upset by what he experienced. He has since quit the program and said he no longer wants to pursue a career in the military. The mother said she paid $1,000 for her son to attend the camp.
$1,000 to go to the camp?
I mean, for that.
And a Rangers camp?
and a government camp?
A RBDF Rangers camp?
A government camp.
But I mean, somebody has to be held accountable for these particular
and
things.
And then they're forcing people to stand in a circle and watch me do what I got to do as being a bachelor by myself.
Ian, careful. At this point, these are still allegations.
That's why I'm just repeating what they're doing.
He's just repeating what was said.
I know, but let's.
I'm more than concerned. A mother is saying that this is what her son is saying to her.
Yeah,
she's in hiding what she's saying. She's saying
finish read the article. The mother,
The mother said she paid $1,000 for her son to attend the camp and expected the program to instill discipline and character, not leave her child traumatized. Quote, I'm pissed, close quote, she said. Quote, we had to pay $1,000 for our kids to go on that trip to be abused, to experience those types of things, to get beat up. It's not good for the kids. Close quotes. She called for stronger accountability and strict rules to govern future camps. She said her son has repeatedly asked whether action is being taken and wants to see real consequences for those responsible. Quote, discipline the person responsible. Don't let it sleep under the rug. Close quotes. She said, quote, don't move them to another department and forget about it. Close quotes. She also called for the government to offer mental health support to the children, saying they are likely traumatized by what they endured. Commodore Moxie said the RBDF is taking the matter seriously and reviewing how the Rangers program operates. Quote, I am reviewing the Rangers manual, how things operate during these camps, close quotes, he said. Quote, and if we feel that there are things that need to be changed, then we will definitely do that, close quotes. In a statement posted to Facebook last night, the Defense Force said a Marine had been removed from active duties pending the outcome of the investigations. Quote, a thorough investigation has been initiated, close quotes, the statement said. Quote, in addition to this, a police investigation has been launched and the commander defense of the Defense Force has been and the commander Defense Force has convened a board of inquiry to determine what, if any, impropriety occurred, close quotes. Quote,
if any.
The RBDF is committed to ensuring appropriate processing, is committed to upholding accountability, close quotes, end of article.
It can't be just one officer. It got to be a collection. Anyway, let's go to the call.
Okay.
Let's go to the call.
We talk about a culture, right? There's a culture that needs to be addressed, whether there is a culture of predation or whether there's a culture of like of close-eyedness, like you peep some and you keep like, I know, we don't see certain things, you know, but something. And it appears as if the uniform forces generally have a cultural problem where they label anybody that doesn't wear the same uniform as them as an enemy, as an enemy combatant. Right?
Kermit, let's go to the caller.
As a criminal, that's problematic.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Good day. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, man.
Good morning.
Good. You said it's an open line today, right?
Yeah, man. Talk whatever you want to talk about.
Good. Now, I noticed Mr. Davis, our prime minister, has jumped on the bandwagon with this immigration thing. Now, I'm wondering if we could be the first in this hemisphere before we have to fall a fashion from everybody. Let's change our gun laws. Look at the amount of guns they seized the other day, the amount of guns that they reportedly took off the street. Now, if that is not an indication for us to change our gun, I don't know what else. Are we going to have to wait till Donald Trump changes gun laws, or we have enough sense to change our own gun laws?
What do you mean by change your gun laws?
Change it to time. The time these fellas get when they are found guilty with a gun or found using a gun in a murder.
You mean
or robbery?
You mean
longer sentences? Let's say that's 7 to 8 years or 10 years. Every bullet you get 6 months. We need to have, because it seems like we don't care about lives anymore.
Okay, so you talk
lives that we're losing the gun culture. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to say if you tell a fella 10 years he's gonna get if he's found with a gun.
Okay.
You think he's gonna go look for a gun and pick up a gun? Then on the back of that. What I'd like to see put in place, you get a department in the American Embassy that work along with our police force. So when we catch all these guns and on the street, we deal with somebody right there who could contact the American in the United States and who just deal with us pertaining to our gun situation. And the fellas in the States, once you track them down, then they would stop shipping guns to us. Because you got to be able to think of something, man. I mean, this ain't rocket science.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Come and go to the next call for me, please. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Yes, thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. There is a culture in sometimes where you actually break the person and try to make the person to see how the person will respond, you know? But I don't think that was necessary for cadets and to the extreme. Now, I'm thinking about the toilet water. I'm wondering if they have to drink the water from the tank that is flush or the water that's coming from within the bowl. But in any regard, I'm wondering whether we are in the prisons in Gaza or we were in the Bahamas for those things to be happening.
Mm.
We definitely need to screen the persons who get into our defense force. We may also need to check and see what they're watching on their YouTubes, on their internet, to see where they're getting their formal education, their informal education. Because a lot of things is not so right about what's going on in that article about the campus. So it's very sudden, and I dare say that when someone was arrested for some sort of maybe drugs or something of the sort, and asked to use the bathroom and use the N-word and all these other things. That was also a test to even the officers there to be disciplined and not even to respond to the person. See, when you're in a position of authority, you gotta operate even above the normal man on the street. So there's a lot of training, and I believe even the superiors sometimes behave the same way as the junior rank officers. So there's a lot of training that we all need to go really above board. And that's what I may say so far about that.
Thank you very much, Officer George.
You're welcome. Nuri, about six new recruits and new traffic officers that I've interacted with over the last year and a half, out of the six, five of them, their initial engagement was like, nigga, what you doing here looking up in my face like you's people? If I could paraphrase it wildly. Five out of the six young new recruits. One accused me of not having my seatbelt on because I dared to tell him that less than 100 feet away, traffic infractions are being committed by the dray load.
Aaron, I want you to get me a new story.
The
commissioner of police said that they shot police officers, that 10% are on sick leave. I want to know if that's a crisis. If 10% of your staff is on sick leave, is that a labor shortage crisis? And I want to know why they saying they short. They need 2,000 more bodies, police officers. Not they need 100 or 200, 300, 500 officers. They need 2,000 more police officers immediately. That's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
Right? That's a whole force. Right? When you say the Prime Minister himself, in terms of personal police officers around him, has about 15.
That's a lot.
Right? Peace guy in his home now.
That's
station.
That's a lot.
You have four who have to be with him all the time. The Minister of National Security has with six on him personal.
Is it that bad? I mean, that's the question you have.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs have four police officers assigned to him. I said, then you forget about the said who work at the mechanics and who do ban and who do a thing. And he said, I see why you're short. Because nobody do work. All of y'all assigned, all the ministers assigned 12. Police officers, you're short. Of course you're short. That's a whole police station there.
Okay, but listen, why are we shocked, right? Here's one thing you could put on the table. Do you feel comfortable, do you feel satisfied with the state's public communication about the Michael Johnson probe and the U.S. indictment and the implications that arise from those two separate incidents? Right? Have you considered that? Are you comfortable with the communication from the state as to the status of the Michael Johnson probe and the U.S. indictment before you come and say that you shocked that the police need 2,000 new officers? Right? The video that's been circulating recently with the two by them in the car in their uniform talking about what we doing, Squatty? We drinking.
Point. We should have had a mass internal investigation in regards to finding out how deep does this route run, the extent of it.
We in a crisis. We have police officers that do not feel that they are required to stop at stop signs, red lights, use their turn signals, wear their seat belts. Follow the law and drive, and don't drive with a cell phone in their hand. They're supposed to have a radio. There's no good reason for it.
This line's full.
There's no good reason for it.
And get that article for me too, Aaron, to read. Let's go to the call and then get that article to read. You find that yet, Aaron? You got it?
Yeah, get that.
Okay, good. Go ahead, call the first one. Guardian Radio AM.
Morning to y'all. Morning.
Morning. It's open line. Morning. Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, I want to touch on what the article said about what y'all talking about, the Prime Minister in this campaign mode. Spoke about patients here and how they're needed in the construction field. Now, I hope not just PLP, but all the humans are listening to what he's trying to say. Because most of the time, you would hear remarks, the Haitians say, we are here, and we are here to stay. And indirectly, that's what the prime minister is trying to tell us. They are here, and they are here to stay, because if he said...
That's a little reckless, caller. Hold on. That's a little reckless to say that, but go on.
Yeah, indirectly. All right? Because if you're going to justify why they are here...
They hear the work.
The question is, how are they getting here?
The employers bringing them
in. If they are needed, how are they getting here?
The employers bringing them on. They are contracted workers to come here and help develop our Bahamas.
Program where we bring them in is what you're saying?
See, that's what I do not know, and that's the conversation we need to be
so
having.
That's what we need to do, because we don't know what transpired when he was in Abaco at that Haitian church, what he told them. And I really hope the PLP will realize what's going on. It's a new voters block that he is building.
What do you mean? What you trying to suggest, man?
What
you trying to suggest?
That's what's going on.
No, man.
And if the F of them was there, that means they want to be a part of that as well.
No, man.
And listen here. I work in Life of Key, right? Now, he's talking about the construction. I would say they basically take over the construction here.
Because we short. We short staff.
All right, go into the labor board and see how many Bahamians apply for work, and then let's make that statement.
The minister made the statement already and said we short staff.
Yeah, he spoke for the labor board. The minister them say, they say they're colorful. But go into the labor board, or have young men call into the show today, how many of them went to the construction site looking for a job?
Caller, man, hold on, pause. You hear what you just said? Ask the young men how many of them went on a construction site looking for a job. Now, the conversation that you have raised is an important one. I have it in my notes today. I would like to talk about it, but here's what I would like to say to you, right? What I wanted to raise with the Bahamian people today, using the article, Davis, uptick in legal migrants due to labor shortage in construction, in yesterday's Tribune, right? Wanted to say is this, is... To the Bahamian people, do you understand? Are you listening to what the policymakers are saying and how they're saying it and how they are responding to your questions, right? And if you listen, look at the Prime Minister's, speech, right? And then you realize that when you say the young men are going to the construction site looking for, they're looking for. And it's very important, hold on, it's very important to acknowledge at this point that there's a difference between labor and organized labor. And the level of organization of labor that's required to work on these projects. And why it is that foreign direct investors are having written into their heads of agreement that they're allowed to bring teams in. Because those teams are organized and they work together and they work in a particular way. And you said just now all of these young men are coming to work sites. Yes, there is some labor there, but it's not organized labor. So here's the thing. Where are the Bahamian entrepreneurs or businessmen that have the resources to be able to find all these young men who are looking for work and organize them in a team so that he could present a team of 50 workers, a team of 25 or 75 workers to a work site, as opposed to 35 young men, one by one, coming to various work sites looking for work?
I don't think that we are channeling this in the right direction. I think that
so
when we look at
So the question is, when did the rule of engagement for looking for job change? Because that's how I got my job.
When did you get your job?
I didn't need...
What year was it?
That was like in the 80s.
And are you talking about 40 years ago, cousin?
But I don't think.
Hold on.
Age, and why aren't we aware of it? That's what I'm saying.
Okay, why it has changed is because the nature of business in the Bahamas has changed. The nature of development in the Bahamas has changed. They're no longer just building little piece thing. These by them trying to build 1,000 acre island size entities. Everything has changed over the last 45 years. Let's call it 40 years. Now, in terms of why hasn't anybody explained what the changes are? Because only what is politically expedient rises to the surface. And it appears as if unions have become compromised right, in their relationship with power, and did not see that necessary for the workers generally and their union members specifically to keep them up to date with how their working environment has changed. So you're not wrong, caller. Right? Everything that needs to be addressed needs to be addressed. It's our approach to the matter that keeps confusing it.
Thank you very much,
that's
caller.
That's all, caller.
I appreciate it. Let's move to the next caller there, Kermit. Guiding Radio AM.
Hey, great show, Steve, and the screen. How you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, right on, man. I'd like to chime in on that, right? The problem is it boils down and breaks down to dollars and cents. If you eliminate the Haitian or illegal migrant, right, during the construction, it automatically bring up the price of construction because you automatically bring up the labor cost, which means that they will no longer be low-cost or affordable homes. There will be absolutely no affordable homes. Affordable home now, you know, for affordable home now, you're looking at probably over $200,000+, which most Bahamian people will not be qualified from the bank, which means that you will have to have a dual income, which means that now you'll have to get married just to get a house because the bank will ask for a secondary co-signer on that loan because what you're making, your salary can't afford for the house because construction costs will go up because of the illegal migrant not being hired. Trust me on this.
Mm-hmm. Our resources are being strained.
Are the resources being strained or poorly managed? When there wasn't the influx of Haitians, when the population wasn't so high, the mismanagement, it didn't matter that much. See? They've been mismanaging it for decades. The migrant isn't the problem. The problem is an administrative crisis that results in...
Our PM said there's no administrative crisis. There's no immigration crisis. There's no policing crisis.
The PM say ride the wave with brave, but they ain't built one boat in 4 years.
The reality in the labor force is simply this. And we can make excuses for it. We could run around the coast with it. And we can do anything we wish to do. The government of the Bahamas is responsible for the direction in which the country goes in because they're making the decision on behalf of the Bahamian people. The Bahamians want to know which is the way forward. If you're bringing in these individuals and you're sending labor, what sense of labor are they bringing in? Are they bringing in technical parts of the labor, or are they just bringing in labor as a laborer's hand? Because there is a minimum wage that we have already constructed in regards to what is the state of salary for those that are working. So we're saying that the unemployed Bahamians are standing here and not working. And you're saying that you're bringing in people to take on that particular role.
If you don't stop at stop signs and red lights, you can't work on my project.
No. The reality
Bahamians
is that
are disqualifying thousands, themselves.
Thousands of Bahamians are coming out of school daily. The Bahamian government has the responsibility to have a direction in which these children are going. Everybody can't come out of school and say, I want to do business administration. What are these expats and foreigners are coming in our country? What are they coming under? And if they are coming under this and we're giving them work permits to come into the country as that, we need to tell our young people this is the direction you should be going in, rather than keep on or continuously bringing them.
Let's go to the next caller. Unemployment is down to 8%. That's been the lowest from the 80s. We have virtually no unemployment, man. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM. Call again once. Call again twice. Kurt, go to the next caller. Guardian Open Line Wednesday. Go ahead. Call again once. Let's go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
Well, you know, I've been listening to this labor argument, you know, for a little while now. And I'm going to tell you, in my business, I have found that many young Bahamians that we employ aren't really prepared to work.
We might have to stop hiring them.
Hire immigrants. I'm just saying, I'm going to be honest with you. We just did a hiring exercise because for another location where we hired 14 individuals.
What type of business?
Food, restaurant.
Okay, go ahead.
And out of the 14, 11 are already gone, and that's in 2 weeks, because they just can't cut it or they don't want to work. You know? And so when people talk about, you know, finding employment or people looking for jobs, mm-hmm. we got to check the mindset of these young people coming out of school.
They don't want to work.
You know, they don't really want to work. People are looking for a paycheck. and they expect to come and sit down and get highly paid, you know, for you know, with no skill set. And when you're trying to teach them a skill set, they have no interest, you know. Mm-hmm. You got a person we hired, and then within 1 week, they want a leave of absence to go do this and do that. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You just started working. You know, we're trying to train you. You know, you get one person we put on the job, and you say he wanted to come in as a cook, and cook's assistant in the kitchen, put him in the system. 1 hour later, he came and said, hey, can I work somewhere else? Because I can't handle that. We put him that. He said, oh, no, I can't handle this.
Before you go, you work in a restaurant. I don't know. You're finding that a number of restaurants, I ain't saying restaurants, I'm talking Bahamian restaurants, have Haitian cooks. Where you all get these Haitian cooks and not Bahamian cooks from?
Can I tell you, they're showing up to work.
But sometimes, don't the proprietors or the owners of these have been looking for slaves also?
Looking for what?
Slaves. Modern day slaves.
I wouldn't ask a question like that, Ian. Ian, why you ask? Hold on, pause, Ian. Pause. Yes, sir.
Let me call This is a mashup. Let my guest answer, man. Go ahead, sir.
Let me answer that question. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can tell you this. I start unskilled workers in my business at $7 an hour. After probation, they go to $8 an hour. I start my cashiers at $8 an hour. After probation is completed, they go to $9 an hour. If I have a cook that has some competency, they start at $8 an hour. After probation, they go to $9 an hour. And this is a restaurant. This isn't a sit-down restaurant where the average cover is $25 to $30. The average cover price in my business is about $16, okay? So I don't attest to what your guest there was saying with regard to slave labor, because I don't agree with that. But I'll tell you what does happen is some of the workers that have work permits to come to work or have spousal permits which enable them to work, they actually show up to work every day and do a good job, right? We have a situation where these kids are coming out of schools unprepared to actually come into the workforce. And that's where the fall down is, especially from the public school system. A lot of them don't have a high school diploma, have not met the credentials for a high school diploma, and as such, then have to find themselves, you know, being employed in these kinds of industries, right?
Yes, I appreciate
you. Minimum wage is not designed for you to. It's an entry level position, and based on. And I don't start at minimum wage. I go above minimum wage, and so you know, it all depends on the. I have had people who have come in. And we have a 6-month probationary period in my company. And after a month, I've raised their salary from $7 to $8 based on their work ethic. So I'm not tied into having to wait until 6 months before I raise an individual. That's based on the person's ability and the effort that they put into doing their job.
Okay, I appreciate
it. They show up on time. So that's a big difference. So when we're speaking about foreign nationals or people of non-Bahamian descent that are getting jobs, we have to look at the overall picture.
Yes.
You know, and I think Aaron, you made it very succinctly when you talked about organized labor as opposed to unorganized labor. There's a true factum to that we don't look at in this whole equation. But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, definitely.
I enjoy listening to you guys as always.
I appreciate
okay?
you.
Yes, thanks, sir.
Again. And have a great day.
Yes, sir. Pray for me in the studio because my call is gone.
I will. Both you, my cousin, so I gotta pray for both of you.
Thank you.
Read them text her. Read them text her.
And we didn't mean to tarry on the text. I work construction. English is a second language in these jobs. There's another text. Can you have on your show for your listeners to call in or text a poll vote which party they voting for? I think you will be surprised. Good morning, CA. Tell PM stop lying. We the real Bahamians know what time it is. Cheap labor.
My PM
and
don't lie.
You will have to pay Bahamians the right salary. These corrupt politicians and civil servants need to be tried for treason. Texter, okay, I was reading it up until you say they need to be tried for treason, right? And I'm going to say this. You, before you say people should be hung and tried for treason, you can work on your spelling.
Oh, God. People shade, God. Man. Let's go to the caller.
No, man, that's heavy.
Let's go to the caller.
Heavy. More text.
Yeah, let's go. Go ahead. Let's go to the caller.
That's heavy. You live caller for people to get hanged.
You live caller. Guided Radio AM. Go ahead.
Man. Good morning. Good morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
Sound like my name's Aaron and C.A.
Yes.
Morning. Aaron, everybody makes topographical error. You know what it is. But, you know, because it's predictive texting. But I'm afraid that If one don't acknowledge a problem, then one don't really want to solve a problem.
And so
the question to me, Aaron, you said something yesterday. I want to get this in. You said something in your show that was very integral. You said that, and it's concerned about Shadrach, who died in Haiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said it had happened in international waters, and then you came back and said in Haiti. But that is the real crux of the problem there. That's what we need to know. Where was this boat pulling out from the south side of Haiti, the western side, or the northern side? And so then we will have an idea where it is. But we know that it's in Haiti because the water is very shallow. And my mind is not shallow, so it can't be international waters, which will mandate different legalities. I don't want to get into that. But as it relates to the child molestation, even though the case is being adjudicated now, all I'm saying is that the fact that the children, the guys that the children went to the hospital and they had enteric diseases or contracted some enteric bacteria, then that is evidence right there to say, well, this, that. But you know, I don't want to get into that because I'm even sickened by that. But I hope you realize the response of the young mother. So it shows you that the type of paranoia and the type of psyche these type of reports coming into parents can induce in the psyche of the parent. You see, see it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, let's look at the embassy and let's not use the broom before we acknowledge the big elephant in the room. I'm sickened by this immigration most here numerology-wise. Haitians. And who are squatting sporadically? Haitians, right? You trying to make it look like I say Haitians because I have a reality of my own. What I'm saying is we have other demographics here that we can use also. Why proliferate the Haitians? It's all exploitation. And so it's to their benefit because I live in the inner city and I saw all of the Haitian Bohemians and Haitian migrants all out to the rally the other night by the Windsor Park. So the PM knows that it's in his benefit to create this model. But the Haitian people are not. If they say they're smart, they won't realize that politicians are using them like a tool. Hence, a fool, because I talk to many of my Haitian American brethren who's coming in me. So what I'm saying is, this is not in their best interest that they think, but just decide with a voting block or way. But what I'm saying is, no Bohemian should say, Haitians are not here to stay. Of course, they're here to stay. But you want all to come here to stay? That's not being naive. That's you. They are the elephant in the room.
Thanks, Fernando.
One shanty town, I can get it over with.
We can take this quick break. Carlos, I see you. I can quickly go to the break so I can come back to allow you to speak. And then Aaron have all kind of texts to read. Everybody want to engage in this. But as soon as I take the break, the sooner I get to come back. Guardian Radio AM, thank you very much. Ian, thank you very much. Aaron, we're going to come right back. What time it is? Ain't time to leave, right? We have time? You know, yeah, we have 10 minutes.
You know, like my college education, I only had 4 bosses and all was good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the other side of the break. Ian, I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll be right back.
As a local Bahamian bank, we believe that Bahamian businesses are the backbone of our society. At Fidelity, we proudly fuel the dreams of our local entrepreneurs looking to expand. Ready to grow your business? Apply for a Fidelity commercial loan today. Call 364.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family.
I'm thinking that this is one of the best anthem songs the Bahamas has, actually. And Stilito owns about 2 or 3 of them. Yeah, I can hear myself. I good. Let's go straight to the caller, and then we can queue up those text lines. Go ahead, caller. We can speed things up. Hey, we can give everyone 30 seconds. Go ahead, man. Doing well.
Hey, right there, man. Hey, one thing I noticed, right? How come only the Haitians seem to be an immigrant in the Bahamas? Now, that's crazy. Second thing, right? If the Haitian is a problem, right, who owns E Street? It ain't no Bahamian, and it most definitely ain't no Haitian. Which nation?
European.
No,
I'd like to thank you for playing Jeopardy today.
there are more Haitian-owned businesses on
the Chinese.
No, you just don't see. All of the Grove is Haitian. The entire Grove is Haitian Bahamians. They're Bahamians, but Haitian Bahamians. There are more Haitian Bahamian stores in the Grove than any Chinese entertainment.
Do you think
Easily.
But the thing is,
10 to 1.
But the thing is, we could have a conversation.
Yes, on E Street, 10 to 1.
You know, the thing is that we could have a conversation on the Chinese. We could have a conversation on the Haitian nationals that are here, the Jamaican, the Filipinos. We could have a conversation on all of them. And the Bahamians can look and see the landscape as a change unfolding in front of their eyes, right? So the question I'm asking even the politicians and the persons that are making the decisions for the Bahamians, where do the Bahamians fit into this whole new Bahamas? Because the reality of it is that I'm not seeing those advantages given to the Bahamian people and areas that are being outlined.
What advantages? What advantages? Don't say you
what
see.
What is reserved for the Bahamian?
Tell me what advantages you're talking about.
I need to know as a young
one,
Bahamian.
List one.
What
list
areas
one
are reserved
thing.
For the Bahamians?
This is one thing because the things... The things that you were talking about and ascribing to the Haitians and not to be ascribed to the Haitians. Who's taking access to the beach?
Who?
Foreign direct investors,
okay,
you think
so
it's Haitians?
Who's taking directive to the Crown Land? Bahamians don't access the Crown Land. Are they accessing the Crown Land? The Bahamians.
Whose fault is that?
I'm asking
Let's
you.
Let's go to the callers.
How many Haitian migrants? Hold on, pause. I mean,
you
just
tell me so they're squatting. So they're squatting and CA said we have a housing crisis. You're bringing them there here by the thousands. So what apartment they staying in? Where are they staying? Do you know where they're staying?
Who's responsible?
Where they staying?
Ian, who's responsible?
Who can document where they live?
Ian, just being loud and boisterous doesn't mean that you correct.
I'm just trying to figure it out, though.
Yeah, but you're not listening because you
But, you're not answering me where the people are.
You're not listening.
Let's go to the next quarter. Guardian Radio AM.
Who's supposed to determine that the housing is appropriate?
You as a referee, when you talk, you and our co-was hold it. Right. Now, I heard it just this morning that they were saying that why we have Haitians at the gas station and as pump attendants. And I would want to suggest
we need
perhaps
them.
They are Bahamian grown Haitian. But I want to say that we should not reserve the very low end jobs for Bahamians. We want to aspire that the Bahamians should be in any strata of the economy, right? From the very top in the boardroom, as accountants and the rest of it. So that's what I want to clear that up. Now, I heard you and spoke about 5 minutes of waiting on a while ago about hoping that our Wi-Fi will work properly. I'm certain that the bill was paid, and just as we're saying that we have some time, we have some lousy companies, and they're not providing stable service. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing in, or sometimes we're even bringing in inferior equipment, like some cheap phones. Not cheap in the sense that you're paying for it cheaply, but phones that don't have the standard can do online banking and all those things, or even do a proper GPS. So we have to look at seeing what's going on, and so that everything will be above board and high quality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. You know,
that's a combo because I want to stay within my 30 minutes.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Thank
30
you.
Seconds, sorry.
But listen, like the gentleman said just now, why are you trying to reserve the lowest paying, the most menial jobs for Bahamians? Because you think Bahamians are lazy and dumb and can't do nothing else but that. And so they should be able to rely on that at the very least to take care of themselves. We are the migrant crisis because we want the Filipinos to be in our homes. We don't want any black people in our homes. We don't want no Jamaican in our home. We definitely don't want a Bahamian in our home.
I can
afford
a Haitian, though. I can't afford the rest of them.
In fact, the only Jamaican that we want in our home is a desperate Jamaican, right, with a good education who just couldn't find work in Jamaica.
If I could find one of them.
We want Cubans in our mechanic shops. We want Chinese people bringing us good, cheap goods and liquor and
my
food.
My wife don't want no Cuban in our
house. And we want Haitians in the yard so far away from the porch that you can't see them. Our migrants don't want to do the work.
Yeah. I'm not saying that all Bahamians don't want to do the work. I mean, so us to speak like that, I mean, that's kind of reckless there for me. I'm saying that there are some Bahamians that get up every morning and apply themselves and knock on the doors and follow the procedures and the practices and nothing happens.
Let's give excuses last caller in. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Caller going there. Caller going once. Caller going twice. And caller going. Go through them texts, Aaron.
All right. Here's a text. I advise all of my family to stay away from these forces. Some of these forces may be damaging our young children mentally and otherwise. These systems need to be checked urgently. Oversight, oversight, oversight. Caller, here's another text. Good morning. I can't believe parents are still allowing their children to be under the hands of any of these law enforcement agencies. Ain't no way. Here's another text. They want them 2,000 votes next election. When the Minister of Foreign Affairs said that the three reasons why we need to expand our migration policies, there's a health issue, we need to expand the gene pool. There's a labor shortage, we need to expand the labor pool. And then he said there's a tax, we need to expand the tax base, right?
They're here to stay.
That's the space in which people keep saying, no, you expanding the voter base, because, right, except for this VAT tax. Our country just lacks discipline. It's ridiculous. Just a few things. One, thank you for continuing to bring awareness to the traffic issues. Two, thank you for bringing awareness to how poorly police interact with the public. And we see why from the allegations in the newspaper, this is learned behavior that the COP needs to fix. Lastly, the country needs a proper bus system. Yes, we do, because 75% of y'all do not need to be driving. Good morning. A vehicle cut directly in front of me and turned left on the red light. Yep, it's happening all the time. The Contractor Association president called into Dwight's show 2 weeks ago to say there is no construction shortage in Nassau, and he can point to 1,000 construction workers at large contractors who
they need to register because they ain't
on jobs. I'm not sure if that's what he said, but I'll look it up. Text, I'll definitely look it up. The text says, kudos to the Commodore in referring his men to the police force. If 10 to 15% have sickness of a protracted nature which prevent them reporting to work, then they should be replaced. That's a police story. I want to know if any of this 15%, if any of them are the officers that went to Monroe and told them, we'd like to resign from frontline policing because you all opened up the coroner's court.
And what about that police officer who get knocked down by the politician?
You mean the allegation that the police officer got?
I just
want to
know if he owed sick still. Because he was owed sick for a while.
Because maybe he is 7 of the 15%, right?
Yes,
there.
Yes.
Absolutely. Producer, you cut me when it's time. It's not about paying more Bahamians more. I pay Haitians more than Bahamians used to charge on the construction site because I want efficiency and results. Bahamians need their weed smoking time, come late, lazy, and want to leave early. Also, Bahamians are not having enough children to keep an economy alive, but keep an economy going. If you hire 14 workers and 11 quit in the restaurant business, you must have a hellhole for decent kids to work. Everyone wants a decent job, not just any job. I don't think you all understand what restaurant business is. I think that's a part of it. I don't think you all understand what it's like. Good morning, CA and Aaron. What happened to all the graduates from BTVI over the past 20 years? And I'm sure many of those immigrants don't have any qualifications. Especially
those people hired.
You call this talk about coming out of school with no readiness and no diploma, but they come from the South with nothing either, so he's just making excuses. They come with grit and determination, and the boys say he's sleepy, he's walking from home at 4, gets his boss house at 4:30, sleep in the car until the bus in the truck until the boss start the truck to go to work. Sometimes it's just sheer determination, but that's what's required on a plantation. Maybe the problem is y'all haven't acknowledged that this is a plantation yet. Anyway, don't come on my job. Don't come to my house looking for work and you don't stop at stop signs and red lights. That's a testament to your skill and the product that you're going to deliver.
Ian
right
Mannings,
there.
It was good having you here. It's been a while. For man down, Marshall Wednesday. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Stay tuned. Right?
Oh, eat the Gnaps. They're good for you. They're going to keep you cool and hydrated in the summer. And this boy bring the Johnny Cake.
What the name of the Johnny Cake?
Mammy Cake. Mammy Johnny Cake. He bring it.
Yeah. That Mannings is the proprietor of that business. It's good Johnny Cake, actually, in the box. Anyway, have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.